For those of you who don't know me, my name's Rob. I'm one of the youth group leaders here, a follower of Jesus, a lover of teaching people about Jesus, and also a lover of outdoor recreation. So I love mountain biking, kayaking, bushwalking, any of that sort of stuff. And it's always been that way. Ever since I was a really little kid, I've always loved outdoor stuff. And particularly when I go on camps for school, I always loved abseiling. I was that annoying little kid who'd always be at the front talking to the leader about how great an abseiler I was, even though I'd never been abseiling. I'd be telling him about my experience climbing all these mountains, Mount Pleasant and all these other mountains I've made up, which is the name of this area in the past. And I was always the first to throw on the safety gear and to stand up on the rock ledge. See, I trusted my leader. I thought, how fantastic that I can get here and get this rock climbing harness on and tell everyone about how great I was. So one time, my leader, Mike, he said, he obviously saw that I kept talking about how great I was and decided I was going to be the first to go over. As I strapped on my gear and walked towards the edge, things got a bit harder. And I could see the gap, I could see the distance that I was about to abseil down, and fear struck in. I was scared. The people who were watching me were going, come on, mate, you've been doing all these great mountain climbs and all sorts of abseiling, show us now. And I started to get nervous and started to shake. See, when things got hard, my trust started to fail. I started to doubt whether my leader could hold me up, whether the rope would hold my weight, whether the straps were done up tight. When things got hard, I found it hard to trust. Tonight, we're going to look at the people of Israel and where their trust was in hard times, and also for us, where our trust should be in hard times. So let's pray. Dear Lord, I pray as we look into Psalm 129, you can show us about who to trust in and where to put our trust in hard times. All right, if we open up to Psalm 129 in your Bible, you'll see there's an interesting title at the top of the psalm that says, A Song of Ascents. When you read that, it sounds a bit peculiar. It's not something we use these days. But this was a song that was used by the people of Israel on a pilgrimage towards Zion. There's three that we're going to look at over the next few weeks, which work together as a triad. And these were songs that they would sing together. They would sing out loud, not just written word, but they're also God's word that we can hear and read. So they were singing these songs on a pilgrimage towards Zion. But the interesting thing about this psalm, unlike a lot of the other psalms, is it doesn't start out happy, does it? It talks about this word affliction. It starts out with a situation that's in a lot of distress. So the first thing we'll see, which you see on your outline, is Israel afflicted. The story starts with a testimony of Israel, a story of their past, and it paints a really ugly picture, doesn't it? We see the people of Israel are afflicted. Now, afflicted's a word that we've just talked about for a few minutes, but some people might not actually know exactly what it means. To be afflicted is to be greatly troubled and distressed with mental, physical, or spiritual pain. And it's often what happens when people are oppressed, they're afflicted. It's a difficult, hard, rough time. And we see in the opening of this psalm that Israel are a people who are afflicted. It says in verse 1 and 2 that they've been afflicted from their youth, right from the start of the nation. So we've been looking at Exodus over the last few weeks here in Night Church, the second half of Exodus. But if we remember right back to Exodus chapter 1, just as this nation of Israel are starting, we see that they're afflicted from the start. The 12 tribes have just formed and these people are starting to go. God has blessed his people. But a new king comes to power in Egypt because they're living in Egypt. And he's scared of these people growing and he decides to oppress them. He sets slave masters over them and gives them hard, bitter labour to do. And the people of Israel struggle. They're put under trial, they're oppressed, they're enslaved and they're afflicted. And as we look through the whole of the Old Testament, we see this issue going on again and again. We see this affliction from Abraham and Moses all the way through to Ezra and Nehemiah later on in the Old Testament. In verse 3, we see an interesting picture that helps us see this further. It's a picture of a plower ploughing the back of Israel and leaving furrows. This sounds like a bit of a weird thing because we don't really use ploughs anymore. But the plough sort of looks like a wheelbarrow, and it's basically a piece of agricultural equipment that was attached to a horse. And the horse would drag it along the fields and leave big, long furrows. And if you think about the Crossroads Servo just out the back of Cranbrook or anywhere around Llandilo, and you see the market farms out there, you can see furrows. They're the big, long, deep cuts that go through the earth where people plant rows of crops. But what this is referring to is the idea of furrows being big, deep cuts in the back of Israel. That's what it's been like for them as they've been oppressed, as they've suffered from trial and oppression. But we see something interesting in verse 2. It not only says, greatly have they afflicted me from my youth, but it also says, yet they have not prevailed against me. We see that these oppressors, these people, these enemies of Israel, they don't prevail against Israel. They haven't gained victory over Israel. And we see something even more interesting in verse 4. We see instead of them prevailing over Israel, we see that rather the Lord prevails. In verse 4, it says, "The Lord is righteous. He has cut the cords of the wicked." Even when it seems that times are hard for Israel, when it seems there's no hope, when they've been destroyed, when they've been attacked, when they've been afflicted, the enemy doesn't prevail. It's God who prevails. It's God who has the victory. And this is something we see lots through the Old Testament, isn't it? If we think back to Exodus again, Exodus chapter 12, what do we see there? We see the nation of Israel are freed from the imprisonment of Egypt after 430 years of bitter, harsh imprisonment. God delivers his people. He takes them out of that place. We see it also in 1 and 2 Samuel, as we see the campaigns of David, who becomes the great king. We see that when there's enemies of Israel, we see the Amalekites, the Ammonites, the Philistines, the Syrians. We see all these enemies of the Israelites who come against them. But God delivers his people. God prevails. Our Lord is righteous. He has cut the cords of the wicked. The next thing we see the psalm talk about is what's in store for those who have afflicted Israel. It tells of the future for these oppressors, for these people who have come against Israel. Verse 5 reads, "May all who hate Zion be put to shame and turned backward." We see these oppressors, these people who have afflicted Israel, are going to be put to shame and turned backward. And then we see another picture in verse 6 to 7. We see the idea of them being grass on the rooftops, which withers before it grows up. Now, to understand this, you need to understand a little bit of architecture. So this day and age, we have triangle roofs. So if you look above, you can see that we're in a triangle roofed building. So the idea is that when water comes down, it flows off the sides and into the gutters and down the drain. Out there, they didn't have as much of an issue with that, and so they had flat roofs, and they'd use their roofs often to do work on top. But the issue with flat roofs was, out there, as the wind would blow, the dirt would collect on the surface of the roof, and they'd get fine layers of soil. And then also, the grass seed would blow up there. The grass seed would land in the dirt, and over time, it would start to sprout up and grow. Just like gutters when they're blocked. So if you remember up the side of the church here under the tree, it often builds up with leaf litter and stuff gets trapped in there and starts to grow up. The issue, however, is with these plants growing on the roof is that the soil's only really shallow and that there's not much water up there and the sun is really harsh. So as these plants begin to grow up, the heat and the lack of deep roots means that they wither and die. And so when the reapers come, the reapers are the one who collect it and cut it. When the reapers come to cut it, there's not much there to collect. There's not enough to collect up. And when the binders come to bind the sheaves together to make piles, there's not enough to bind. Although these oppressors seem strong, when you look at them, they seem like the strong enemies of Israel. We see they're more like this grass. They're worthless and withering away. And it's a bit of a reversal from the last picture we saw, wasn't it? The first place they're talking about them being like ploughmen, ploughing the backs of Israel, leaving big, long, deep cuts in Israel's back. But now we see them being like worthless pieces of grass growing on a roof that even the harvesters don't want to cut down. We also see in verse 8 an interesting thing. We see that the blessing of the Lord's not upon them. 8a talks about, "Nor do those who pass by say, the blessing of the Lord be upon you." Now, if you think back to the book of Ruth, in Ruth chapter 2, verse 4, we see Boaz, who is the owner of the land, greeting people with that traditional greeting of, "May the blessing of the Lord be upon you." It's something that was said by the Israelites when they'd walk past other people reaping in the fields. They'd bless each other. But it's saying this is not going to be for those oppressors. They're not going to be blessed. Justice will be served. We know that for these oppressors, for these enemies of Israel, justice will be served. It won't be served by you. It won't be served by me. It won't be served by Judge Judy, but God, the righteous God, who has cut the cords of the wicked. We can see that these afflictors will be put to shame and turned backwards, as we see in verse 5. Worthless and withering like grass on the rooftops, as we see in verse 6 to 7. And without God's blessing, the Lord is righteous. He will bring judgment. But what about us? This song was written thousands of years ago. What about us? Does that apply to us today still? Just because it's not by Lady Gaga, it's by God. It's even more important. Well, the New Testament, which also applies to us, makes it pretty clear that trials and afflictions are something that will happen to all of us who are Christians. We did a recent series on James before we did the Exodus series. And we know in James 1, 2, it says, "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds." Also in James chapter 1, verse 12, it said, "Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial. For when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him." The book of 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12 to 13, says, "Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you, but rejoice insofar as you share Christ's sufferings, that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. It's pretty clear to us now, in this modern day and age, that there's still going to be tough times for Christians. It shouldn't come as a surprise to us today when we face trials and afflictions. Just like the Israelites thousands of years ago, we too are afflicted. But we also know that God prevails in our lives as well as he does in the Israelites. And how do we know this? How have we seen this? We've seen this in the death of his righteous son, Jesus Christ. We know that he sent his son Jesus to deliver us, that all these times he delivered the people of Israel was pointing forward to the time he would send his son Jesus to deliver all of us. What should we do? We should trust in him. Although we are free from oppression and enslavement here in Australia, although we don't have another nation like Egypt who are enslaving us and making us work hard, bitter labour, we still see affliction here in Cranbrook. We see affliction in Australia, in Sydney, in Cranbrook, and you will see it in our own homes, at school, at work and at uni. It only takes a minute to glance quickly over a newspaper from Sydney in the last 2 or 3 months to see Christian men and women who have been cut down and persecuted for their views on marriage, sexuality, the church and God's people. Or we can think of our own lives. There's times in our own lives when we're afflicted, when we're bullied, teased and attacked because of our faith in the Lord Jesus. Will you trust in Jesus? Will you trust him in those hard times? For those of you guys who are at school, when you decide to go to the Tuesday or Wednesday Christian lunch group and you get bagged out for that, you get called a loser, what will you trust in? When you're at uni, uni's a very different place. There's lots of different ideas and thoughts going around and people will call you foolish and dumb and stupid for believing in something that they can't see or something that happened thousands of years ago for Jewish people. Will you trust in Jesus in those times? For those of us who work, when there's times when we stand up for people, when we don't get involved in gossip and pornography and the other things that happen at work, where will you put your trust? Will you stand up for him there? What about friends and family? When your family says to you, how about you skip church today? How about we just hang out together? Why are you going to Bible study on a Wednesday night? Why don't you just stay here and watch TV with me? Why would you read your Bible? Why don't you do some homework? And when friends bag you out for living the way that we're told to live in God's word, who do you turn to? Where do you put your trust? When things get hard, where is your trust? Hebrews chapter 10, verse 39, which a lot of the youth guys here should know, says, but we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who believe and are saved. Although we are still afflicted and suffer trials, our God is the victor. He has prevailed, and we know full well that Jesus is coming back again, and that for these oppressors there will be judgment. Trust in our Lord. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you that you've delivered us, Lord. Thank you that although we are still afflicted, that you have prevailed, and that your Son Jesus is coming back. Amen.